Our podcast will begin in just a moment. Production and distribution made possible each day by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Steve sets aside some time each month to review retirement portfolios for our podcast listeners. He does this via Skype or telephone. His schedule is limited to just a few, but if you'd like to schedule your review, the next date coming up is July 20th. And if that works for you, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. And now, today's Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of Invest Talk. It is July 1st, 2016. We have ended the quarter yesterday and started a new quarter, and that means earnings season is coming up. Earnings season comes around every quarter. So I am here, and I do this every day, to promote above-average investing for the average investor. And, you know, it's a skill that you can learn, a skill that is very important to you if you have a 401k or you're saving for retirement, you have any kind of investments. It's a skill that, okay, you don't have to be an expert at, but you certainly have to understand it. And one of the ways I bring you up in your skill set is give you information and perspective, let you answer questions. I also do this through my premium newsletter. It comes out every Friday. Came out Friday today, the Friday about noonish or so, and it goes to all our subscribers and our clients. Now, what did I talk about this week? Well, the market. I talked about the market in a way that apparently just shuffled off or shrugged off the Brexit news. It had a sharp two-day loss, and then made it all back in the rest of the week. This week. From Tuesday today, a little, just up a little today. But I talked about that. I thought it was important to understand what's going on there. I also cover, you know, the economic numbers that come out every week and to point out the ones I think are important. It's always in the newsletter. And in the stock ideas section, I gave a couple of spotlight on a couple of positions that may be for defensive purposes. So I thought that might be helpful. Portfolio management, there's always a section on portfolio management, how to manage a portfolio of stocks, and what are some of the things you need to understand and learn. The premium newsletter is a pretty easy thing. It's four sections, and it comes out every week, every Friday. And you can subscribe, and you don't, it's painless. There's a money get back guarantee. And sign up at investtalk.com. That's where you sign up. It costs less than $10 a month. Comes out every Friday. So what money questions are on your mind today? Would you like to talk about annuities? Because they're promoted by life insurance companies everywhere. They got lots of money, and they spend a lot of money advertising annuities because that brings in them lots of cash that they get to hold on to forever for a very long period of time. Oh, well, you want to talk about IPOs? How about initial public offerings? Usually not a good investment. Usually not. Of course, you're going to have your winners. You're going to have your big winners. And they're the ones that hit the headlines. But the average IPO, 6 months after they come out, they're usually trading below what they were when they came out. That's pretty normal. Anyways, anything you want to talk about financial, give me a call. We have our 24-hour listen line. It's always open, 888-99-CHART. That's also our live number right now, 888-99-CHART. And let's answer a question right now.
Hi, this is Tim from Texas. I'm a longtime podcast listener. Really like the show. I had a question about share types. I've been looking into Under Armour for some time now, wanting to pick up a position in the low 30s. And I noticed that there are a couple different types of shares you can buy, the regular shares, and then I think the other ones are the dash C shares. I think those are shares without voting rights. I was just wondering, in general, where do you find out the types of shares that are available for companies? Is there a place to easily find if there are different types? I ask because I noticed the Under Armour dash C shares are a little cheaper than the regular UA shares. So wondering where I could find that information for any stock, and also what's your opinion on those two Under Armour stock options? Thank you.
Okay, Under Armour symbol is UA. And they have A shares and C shares, and you're right. Most of the time, the different share classes are based on voting rights, and whether a person owned these shares have voting rights versus a person owned the other shares. So that's what it generally does. As far as anything else, there's not much difference between the two share types. And if you want to get the information, it's available. You can get it through the SEC Edgar, EDGAR.com, and it will give you all the information on a particular stock that the SEC has on file for them. Or you can go directly to the company. You know, each public company, almost every one of them has a client relations staff person, and they're the ones that can answer those kinds of questions. Is there a website or a list or someplace where you can just look them up? I've never seen one. That's because different classes of shares are kind of unusual. It's not very common. They're unusual. Okay, let's also try to answer a question sent to us by the text format. Jim from Atlanta. I'm looking at an ADR symbol KEP. Nice dividend. It looks like a stable, well-run company. I am waiting for a pullback to buy it, but wanted your opinion. So it's KEP. Let me type it in. KEP is Korea Electric Power Company. Okay, so it's a South Korean electric power company. It is a pretty decent size, a $33 billion company with $51 billion in revenue. So it's pretty decent, pretty big company. The look at the dividends paying 5.27%. That's good. It's a little bit more volatile than the market, so it's not, you know, the return on equity is very high, so don't think it won't go up and down. And let's see, what's the P.E. ratio? Let's look at the P.E. ratio. P.E. ratio is fairly low. So, you know, I don't see why it is not. I think I'd be, you know, looks like it's pulled back from 27 down to 25. Today is at 26. Earlier in the year, it was trading at 21. So, like, between 20 and 27 is the range that it's in. So it would be nice to pick it up in the low 20s, but I don't know if you're going to get it. I think you might want to just go ahead and step into it, maybe buy half a position now and wait for a pullback to get the others. Maybe you won't get that pullback. It's hard to know. That dividend looks also attractive, and it looks like it's pretty stable with a 22% return on equity, a pretty stable dividend, and the payout ratio is not that much. So I kind of like it. It's not going to be exciting, but it is going to pay that dividend. Now, what can you learn from bumper to bumper traffic? Kind of an interesting way to look at investing. What bumper to bumper traffic has in similar ways with investing, and it's a stretch, but we'll get there. Also, I didn't get to any of my talking points yesterday. Any of them. Wanted to talk about commodities in 2016. I wanted to talk about college degrees and how they are the new high school diplomas and underfunded pensions that no one's talking about. No one's talking about the underfunded pensions these days. So those, I still want to get to those before the end of the show. The market was kind of much more calm today. You had those two big down days, Friday and Monday, because of the Brexit. And then three sharply Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday up days. And today it was kind of calm with the Dow up 19, the Nasdaq up 20, and the S&P up 4. And it's right back up to resistance. We call it resistance to the top of the range the market has been stuck in for, I can't tell you how long now, well over a year. So that we're now back at near that top of that range. It was a top in November, again in December. It was a top in April, a top in May. And here we are now, July, getting close to the top again. And, you know, the bottom was a 10% correction in January. And that was felt, that's where your bottom of the range is. So where's the market going to go from here? Well, we're having earnings season. The quarter just ended, so we're going to start getting earnings. And remember, for three and four quarters in a row, sales and earnings have been down. And even this quarter, I think the earnings are going to be down. But we may be getting close to the bottom of that earnings recession. We'll call it a corporate earnings recession. And I think we're getting close to the bottom of it. And I think the market thinks that too. That's why it's holding up well right now. So Now it's time to call with your questions, or you can share your investing experience. Whatever you want to do, you can call our anytime line and record your question, 888-99-CHART, or you can send me a note directly. Click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now it's time to give me a call. What do you want to talk about? I'll talk about anything that's on your mind. Anything that you want to discuss, I'm more than happy to talk about it. Commodities. In 2016, I wanted to talk about commodities in 2016 because they're the ones that have been falling for 5 years in a row. So I want to get to that before the end of the show and why they are now moving this year. What's going on? Also, our main talking point is a lesson in retirement investing from your morning commute. And they're trying to draw parallels with traffic jams and the market. And it's a stretch. Trust me, it's a stretch. And what they're saying is, have you ever noticed that when you're stuck in a traffic jam, that the lane on your right or your left is moving faster than your lane? And then you move to that lane, and then it doesn't move faster? And how is that similar to the market? If you're looking at a stock or a sector that's moving very fast up, you seem to be late to get into it. And as soon as you get into it, other sectors or stocks go up and yours stops. Well, what you're doing is you're chasing something that you should never chase. In the market, you do not chase performance because it doesn't work. Now, does that mean you never buy a stock that's going up? Of course not. But you don't buy it because it's going up. And that's where the problem lies. You're buying something because it's going up. You buy something because it has great value. You buy something that has the fundamentals are very strong. You buy something because that sector is now gathering strength, that the economies, the economic cycle you're in or the economy you're in is going to favor these types of stocks, or the political will favors these kinds of stocks. You don't buy it just because it's going up. And that's what they're trying to say in this article relating it to traffic. You just don't switch lanes just because that lane's moving faster. Because as soon as you do, it slows down. Why? Because everybody's doing the same thing as you are. If a stock is really rising fast or a sector, it gets noticed by everybody and they start jumping in. Then it doesn't work anymore. Everybody's in. No more people to come in. You're the last one to find out. It doesn't work. That's what this article is talking about. And, the comparisons are kind of weak in my eyes. Anyways, we have another text question. Hi, guys. How you doing? I'm watching Globox Sciences, Inc. GBLX. GBLX. Now let's type that in. What do you think of its future? Too small, but I think it's going to take off. Well, I wish you apparently have a better crystal ball than I do. I don't know. Let's see the fundamentals. See, I always go to the fundamentals first. Let's see if it has the horses to take off. And that's really what you're asking. Now, this is a cap of $15 million. Really, really tiny. Micro cap stock selling for 35 cents. And I can tell you right now, I would not be interested in it. It is a penny stock. You never, ever, ever buy a penny stock in my mind. Not making any money, not going to make any money. So you're buying a story and you're buying into the story that you think is going to just take off. Okay, develops technologies and process to convert cannabis marijuana plant into medicines. Well, good luck with that. I would not buy it with counterfeit money. The specifics of retirement differ for everyone, but the broad goal is to have your financial freedom. We all want that. Give me a call. We'll talk about it. 888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Rabi in Santa Clara. How you doing, Rabi?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
This is regarding the stock symbol CRM. I have invested on this stock around 79. Can I hold this, or what is your opinion?
Okay, this is Salesforce.com?
Yes.
Okay, it's Salesforce.com provides enterprise cloud computing solutions, offers social and mobile cloud, a platform, as well as professional services to facilitate the adoption of its solutions. So they're in the cloud. I kind of like where that space, I think that's a good space to be in, the cloud computing space in one way, shape, or another. So I like that. The stock hasn't really done well over a length of time. It's just kind of sideways for a while now. But do the fundamentals tell you it can go higher? Well, it's a big company. It's a $54 billion company, so it's not small. Regular growth of revenues is in the 20% plus range, so that's good. Let's see. Price to sales ratio looks decent. PE ratio looks pretty low. Price to book is okay. All the numbers look pretty decent and a good profit margin. I mean, really good profit margin. I kind of like the company, Ruby. I think I would hold on to it. You know, it's not doing anything different than the market. The market is having a heck of a time for all over a year. So, these good, strong companies, Ruby, will eventually you'll get rewarded if you hold on to them. As long as they continue to be strong, and this one looks like it is, you'll eventually get rewarded. It just might take a bit. You just got to be patient, okay?
I know. Thank you.
Thanks, Ruby. I appreciate it. That's CRM, Salesforce. Good-looking company, really. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Well, I've talked about it before, commodities in 2016. For 5 years, 5 solid years, commodity prices have been falling. 5 years before this year. And you knew it was going to end. You just never know when. But when you're looking for opportunities in the stock market, you look for something that's been beaten up and don't necessarily go out and buy it right then. I'm not suggesting that at all. But it is a good way to invest, is looking at those things that no one likes and hasn't liked for a long time. Because those are the things that can really help. For instance, we knew that oil was beaten up and no one likes oil. We knew that there was a lot of problems with it. And it's true. There was a lot of problems. We knew gold. Everybody hated gold, don't want to buy gold. And so what did they do? Everybody sold it off, and for years, no one likes it. And you never know when the bottom is going to come in, but those are the kinds of things you kind of sit back and try to figure out. Now, commodities have been a big winner this year. Sugar's up 39%. Lean hogs, 39% up. Crude oil, 37%. Gold up 27%. So, now people are starting to get excited about it. Remember our talking point about the fast lane and you're moving over and you wonder why you're not making money, because you got to be real careful. Is a trade getting too crowded? Now, right now, I don't think certain commodities are, but some are. So I still think, for instance, I think crude oil has had its run. I think we're getting close to its top and it's probably had its day. I'm not sure about gold. I think gold still might have more to go. But, again, the idea is to look for opportunities. You can look for them by sector, and you're looking for them by stocks. Now, when you look for a sector, most sectors, when they start move up, pull all the stocks in that sector with them, even the bad stocks. But you still need to look for the good stocks in those sectors. So commodities is now, we might have a run on commodities for several years. That means that commodity prices will generally probably rise, but there's going to be, the easy money has already been made. I think it's going to be more difficult now. But, that's why I mentioned value investing versus growth investing. I think we've had a 5+ years of growth investing being the darling of the stock market. And now I'm telling you, and I have been telling you all year, I think value side of the market is a better bet because there's, you know, it's just the way the cycle of the market runs. It's just the way. I think it's value's turn. Do I know it's value's turn? No. But I've been around a long time. It sure feels like it. Our program is brought to you by our company, KPP Financial. We offer a variety of carefully designed investment programs designed to meet a range of goals, retirement goals, and investment goals people have. High risk, low risk, whatever it is you have, I have a program designed for that. So if you'd like to know more about them, just click on investments on the investments tab at investtalk.com. And I encourage you to continue your learning process. We all learn continually. Read, listen, ask questions. 888-99-CHART. You can reach me right now. The number is 888-992-4278.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. Distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Did you know you can access a link to a related article associated with each day's main talking point? Also, you can click back to listings for the last 5 Invest Talk podcasts, each listing the topics and stocks discussed. It's right there on investtalk.com. We continue now with this Friday, July 1st, Invest Talk. When you try our premium newsletter for a month, you'll get a weekly briefing about current market conditions, some stock ideas, and some suggestions for managing your portfolio for profit and reduced risk. Sign up now on investtalk.com. If you have a question on your mind right now, please ask it, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, coming in with a question on fund I was looking at. It's the Vanguard Short-Term Corporate Bond Fund, the symbol VCSH. Would this be a good time to get into this fund, or should I wait? I want to say I really enjoy your show. I will be listening for your thoughts. Thank you.
VCHASH is Vanguard Short-Term Corporate Bond Index ETF. VCSH. It's a short-term bond fund, meaning it's pretty conservative. Okay, so you know that's what it is. So how do I know it's conservative? Well, they have a dividend yield of 2%, and they have effective duration of the bonds of 2.78 years. So it's short term, only 2.75 years of a year. So if interest rates rise or interest rates fall, it doesn't affect it very much. But you're not going to get a lot of return. You're going to get 2%, and it's going to trade in a fairly short, you know, small range. It ran as low as $78 a share back in the beginning of the year, and today it's $80. And I'll even be more specific, about $78.80, and today it's $80.86 today. So it's going to stay on that, and it has peaked at this $80.86, and it's selling for a slight premium to the net asset value. So it's selling a little bit more than what it's actually worth right now. So long term, this is going to be a pretty stable. And it's not going to make you a lot of money, but it'll make you some yield, and it will go up and down in a very narrow range. So if it's something you need or want in your portfolio, it would be more of a conservative, anti-market kind of move to buy this, you know, to put your cash in it maybe because you're just sitting on money market funds and they're not paying anything. At least this would give you a 1 or 2%. But remember, it could sell at a premium or discount to the net asset value, so it could go down to $78 a share, $78.80, so it was a low, and you wouldn't get your 2% for the year. It'd be flat, pretty much. See, so that's how it works. So VCSH, if you're interested in that. Underfunded pensions. No one is talking about underfunded pensions anymore. A few years back, it was a big concern. Why is it becoming a big concern again? Well, from before 2008, before the recession, it was a much more of a concern as it hit, because the stock market for a year did nothing. And many of these pension plans, we're talking about, unions and, remember, they put money, all their pension money, in the market, not necessarily all stocks, and they make assumptions of returns. And the assumption return is about 7%. They're assuming they're going to make 7% on these billions of dollars in pension funds. Well, what if they don't? For instance, there's some experts calling for a 2 to 3% return per month for the next 5 years or so for market returns. Very low returns going forward. And we had very low returns the last year and a half, 2 years. And you add into that, these pension funds are not fully funded. They have about 80, for instance, the Kroger multi-employer pension plan, Kroger, the food company. Remember, there's lots of unions in the food industry. Well, they have $80 billion in funds, but they have $100 billion in liabilities. And they're not putting more and more money in to keep it up. And there is a pension guarantee fund, so you say, okay, well, the pension guarantee fund will come in. But if just one of these major pension plans out there fails, the estimate is the pension guarantee plan has about 2 years' worth of money to pay for the liabilities for those funds. So, this is kind of a hidden danger out there, because everybody in these pension plans are assuming that they're going to make a lot of money in the stock market, and they don't all the time. It's going to be a problem. You watch. At some point in the next few years, one of these big plans will go under, and then it hit the news. Why weren't we paying attention? What happened here? You've heard it here first. Pension plans are going to be a big problem. And when you sign up on our InvestTalk Insider, you will receive an email with access to information like our special watch lists, the webinar archives, chart lessons, and a variety of articles written by myself and Justin. Every bit of this information is free. All you do is sign up at InvestTalk.com. You just become an InvestTalk Insider. Again, just click on InvestTalk tab.
If you have a question about our talking point today, there's a link to a related article on our website homepage. Or you can send a note. Do that. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin, and they will get back to you.
Hi, I'm calling in on a question with the fund, Fidelity Total Bond Fund, symbol FTBFX. Would this be a suitable fund to invest in a Roth IRA? I wanted to see would now be a good time to get in. Thank you for your show, and I'll be listening for the answer.
Okay, FTBFX. Okay, that is the Fidelity Total Bond Fund. Let's take a look at that. Remember, we just talked about the other closed-end ETF, bond ETF. And so is this a bond fund that you should be interested in? Well, it's 92% in bonds, so it's got most of its money in that area. The expense ratio is a little high. When you're talking about bond funds that don't pay a lot of money in yields, expense ratios become more and more important. This one is 0.45, and I like the Vanguard family better because it's cheaper. So I kind of like that. The one-year return is 5%. Three-year return is 12%. Year-to-date so far, it's been about 3 or 4%. So that's what it's returning to you now. So you buy these things because of the yield. You know, that's really what you want. You're getting money. You know, for instance, this Top Holdings U.S. Treasury notes pays 1.245%. Next one is another different type of Fannie Mae, 3.5%. Then 3% for Fannie Mae. Then a Ginnie Mae, 3.5%. Those are the Top Holdings. So you can see that that's what it's, you know, it's got 25% in government bonds and 42% in corporate bonds. So, you know, is it what you need? And most of the bonds are high quality, 43% are AAA or better. You know, so they're high quality bonds. So it's a question of, is this what you want in your portfolio? Do you want to be fairly conservative and this would be, you know, a bond fund? It's had a very good run, just like the one before, the ETF bond fund before this call. They've had very good runs, and you might want to wait for a pullback. You'll probably get one. Fidelity Total Bond Fund, everybody. FTBFX. Time for Invest Talk 101. When you're investing, you must be attuned to the global economic gyrations, like the one we've witnessed over the past few days. The Brexit. Markets fluctuate up and down. Now, what you really need to look at is, will this affect our market, our economy? Will the Brexit affect it? And the answer was probably not. So from that, you knew that this is probably a short-term problem, not going to be a long-term for us, maybe for Europe, but not for us, and more of a problem for Britain. So markets will fluctuate on economic news, economic forecasts. You know, the market is made up of people and they react to news. Sometimes wrong, sometimes right. So you can watch things like the leading economic indicators, the GDP reports. You know, those are, you know, trying to understand, read the tea leaves of the market. It's what you're trying to do through reading the economy and the market information that's thrown at you constantly. And that's what makes it so difficult. It's always changing. And remember, everybody knows the same information you do. You cannot get ahead of anybody else. Everything is already known. So don't think that you're going to find some secret something. That's not happening. Okay? So don't think that. That's Invest Talk 101, everybody. Now let's get you more involved in the program. 888-99-CHARGE is how to reach us. You can do it right now. 888-992-4278. Hope you can call me with any money questions you want. And we're going to go to Bobby in Atlanta. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Steve. Good. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
What do you think about Cardinal Health? C-A-H is a symbol.
Okay. Very large health care provider. $25 billion of market cap. It provides pharmaceutical, medical products and services. Hospitals and other healthcare providers focus on patient care. It also provides medical products to patients in the home. So it's a very large company that looks like it's been now at a triple, almost a quadruple bottom. And if you're going to buy it from a chart point of view, this is where you would buy it. You would want to buy it right near where it is. The profit margins are not very big, 5.5%. So that's not as strong as I'd like to see, but it is much less volatile than the market, and the area it's in is probably going to be pretty good, Bobby. I don't see how that's going to be hurt by Obamacare too much or anything else. No matter what they do, I think that they'll hang around and make pretty decent long-term profits. So you want to buy it when it's cheap, okay? And it has a really good return on equity. So I have, you know, the PE is a little bit elevated at around 18 or so, but I think this is the area in which you would buy it if you want. Pays 2.3% dividend. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to pick up some, this is the area you pick it up, even though it's a little bit expensive. Okay?
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate the call. That's Cardinal Health, everybody. C-A-H. Let's go to Dennis in San Francisco. How you doing, Dennis?
Hey, I'm doing good, Steve. I've had the Ginnie Mae in the Vanguard fund for years now, mm-hmm. and when I started, it was 5%. Now they're just a little under 3%. I'm curious what you think of that that fund.
Well, Ginnie Mae is a very good long-term, boring, don't think it's going to be exciting, dividend payer. You got to live by the dividends because they just, there's no way that they could, you know, make a ton of money. It's just not going to happen. But they are very solid, and for a portfolio that you don't want to take a lot of risk in, Ginnie Mae's are a way to reduce the risk of your of a portfolio. So, you know, they're paying, what, about 2%, 2.18%. Their average coupon, there's the holdings that they have, pays 3.69%. And the average duration is only 2.5 years. So it's a short-term Ginnie Mae fund, meaning that it, you know, rising and falling interest rates really won't affect it very much. So it's a good place to...
I've had it for... I've had it for at least 5 years, and I think when it first started it was 5%. Now it's under 3%.
Yeah, that's because you can thank your Federal Reserve for that. That they did.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And the other question I had was Blackstone Group.
What's a symbol, Blackstone Group?
I couldn't tell you.
BK. I want to say BK. No, that's Bank of New York.
Black. I heard. BLK? Her show a couple weeks ago, and
BX.
Just what you thought of that?
Okay, let's take a look. Yep, Blackstone Group is BX. Thank you very much, Dennis. It's a $30 billion company. Very different. This is totally different than what we were talking about. Totally different. The Blackstone Group is an alternative asset manager. So they take a lot of risk. This is a company. It's like a hedge fund. Okay, they will invest in hedge funds. So this is something that is can be very volatile, and you have to understand that that's what you're doing. BX is, let's see, let's take a look at the numbers. Yeah, see, the PE ratio is really still pretty high because they're, you know, earnings are falling. Man, I think I'd stay away from it at this point. On a chart, it looks like it's hitting close to a bottom. But
okay.
I don't trust the numbers. The numbers look weak. And I think, and that's the way Blackstone goes. Sometimes they just make a huge amount of money in a year. Next year they'll lose a ton. Because they're shooting for the fences all the time. They're swinging for the fences.
Right.
So, you know, and they are a very good company. So don't think they aren't. They really are, Dennis.
So they're just a kind of a high risk.
Exactly. You're rolling the dice.
Yeah.
And if you get it right, they'll make a ton of money.
What's the PE?
Right now it's about 80.
Wow. Okay.
Because they're not going to make any money. Okay. Their money, they got squished. Okay.
Well, should I go to Las Vegas or should I go to Blackstone?
About the same at this point. Thanks a lot.
Okay,
I appreciate
Steve.
That. Thank you. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and we have time to get your question in before the hour's up. 888-99-CHART. Okay, so we have another text question. Hi, guys. Love the show. Informative, easy to comprehend, difficult concepts. I'm wondering if you can discuss the forward PE. I understand how the PE is calculated as well as its applications. However, the forward PE has me a little confused. How is it calculated? I'm assuming projected earnings. Where does the PE value come from? Is it the current price? I realize that low PE has some indications of an undervalued stock, but I'm not sure how to evaluate a forward PE. Okay, he is exactly right. It's the current price of the stock based and then calculated using the forward earnings estimates, next year's earnings estimates divided by the price of the stock, or price of stock divided by the earnings, PE. Okay, so why is it important? Because that's what everybody uses. All the professionals use it. They don't care what the earnings were last year. They care about what the earnings are going to be next year. And they fully know that it's an estimate. So it could be wrong, but that's how they value the stock that they're looking at to buy. Now, PE is just one thing to look at. And also, you can't look at the PE in a vacuum. certain stocks, certain sectors have high PEs. Certain stocks and sectors have low PEs. You know, and then you got to compare the PE in with its peer group and the forward PE of its peer group. And so it's not, you just can't look at it and say, well, that's a low PE. Oh, good, I'll buy that stock. Or that's, and don't assume that a high PE is necessarily bad. It's not. Okay? Depends on the growth rate of the company. If it's high growth, you're going to get a high PE. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Bill in Northern California. How you doing, Bill?
Hi, Dave. Good afternoon.
Thanks for the call.
So Hershey's Corporation,
yep.
You know, they had some big news yesterday. And
yep.
And I'm just wondering, are they overvalued now? Or why wouldn't the price fall again if that deal didn't go through? Is there another offer? Or?
Well, they rejected the deal, if you remember right, Bill. By the way, for everybody else, Hershey's, you know, the big chocolate company, was offered to be bought out by Mondelez, which is another big food, sweets kind of company. The deal, Hershey's rejected it, and there's no other offers yet, or they haven't come back, or we don't, and the stock went up 15-20% one day. And by the way, we own Hershey's in our stock managed accounts, Bill, so our stock account clients all own Hershey's, and so do I, you know, because I buy the same thing for me as I do for everybody else. So we had a very nice day the other day, yesterday. Should we get rid of it? Is the deal going to collapse? Well, there's no deal. So there was never a deal. There was only an offer, of which Hershey's rejected it. What normally happens, Bill, what is very common, is there's negotiations going on, and they'll be probably offer another deal. That would not be unusual. If there isn't, and we'll know that in the next few weeks, you're right, the stock will probably fall back close to where it was. And we'll lose that.
So how do you arbitrage between what might happen and trying to keep your value before you sell?
Well, you can go ahead and sell it now. That's one of your options. Sell it now, lock in that gain. You can hope for a better offer and buy it, you know, and the stock will go up even higher. Or you wait for the deal to fall through and it collapses and the stock drops. My feelings are, even if the deal doesn't go through, Hershey's may give back a big portion of that gain, but still will continue to be higher than it was trading at, because it was moving up already for the last since January.
It looks like it has a real high PE now.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm going to wait a few days and see if another. I'm going to wait a few days to see if another offer comes out. Because if it does, it'll be sweeter than the one, no pun intended there, sweeter than the one they got offered, you know. So I'm waiting. I'm going to hold on to it.
Sounds good to me. Okay. I'm hoping for a sweeter deal, too.
Okay, Bill.
Have a good week.
Thanks
Happy
for the
holiday.
Call. You too. Thank you. Yeah, everybody, have a great 4th of July. Coming up Monday, 4th of July. Yay. Time to close up for the day. Before we go, a reminder to try our free risk analysis tool. It measures your tolerance for risk. It'll only take a couple few minutes, maybe three. It's free. Kind of gives you a risk score to see how risky you are, that you're willing to take. What's your comfort level with risk? That's what it does. And then we can compare it with the market. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP, thank you for listening today, everybody. And let's meet up again on Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.